Federal Communications Commission holds a hearing tonight in San Antonio, Texas, on how effectively broadcasters serve their local communities. One of the FCC's five members says he also hopes to use tonight's hearing and others the commission plans to hold throughout the year to determine whether there's been a resurgence of the illegal practice of payola in music radio. NPR's Rick Carr reports.
Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein says in the year that he's been a member of the FCC, he's been hearing that payola is back, that record companies are, indirectly and surreptitiously, paying radio stations to get their music on the air.
People are alleging that independent promoters are a new middleman that works between the labels and the radio companies themselves.
Adelstein says record companies pay those independent promoters, or indies, to market new music to broadcasters. In turn, the indies pay radio stations and conglomerates to take their advice. Adelstein says he's hearing that the system is expensive, that it accounts for $150 million a year in benefits to radio stations, and that it's unfair to musicians.
We hear a lot of complaints from them about how difficult it is to get on the air and how much you need to be part of a national organization to get on the air, so it's harder for local artists to get heard.
According to Peter Jenner, a manager whose clients have included Pink Floyd, The Clash, and Billy Bragg, record companies claim they have no choice but to pay the indies, even though there's no guarantee that cash will buy airtime.
So you pay them large sums of money and you might or might not get onto their station's playlist, but if you didn't pay them the money, you certainly wouldn't get on the station's playlist.
What's more, Jenner says, artists end up paying for the practice because record labels deduct half of the payments they make from artists' royalties. Meanwhile, the promoter's independence gives everyone in the industry a chance to deny that they know what's going on. Jenner says the indies are actually an old phenomenon. They've been around since the 1970s at least, long after Congress passed anti-payola legislation. Some observers of the music industry say that proves that payola is forever.
The idea of payola being back, that's like saying that the gravity is especially strong this year or something.
Cliff Dirksen is a historian and an editor at the Chicago Reader newspaper. During research for a book on the early days of radio broadcasting, he says he realized that payola is motivated by a fundamental axiom of music marketing.
Songs just don't make their way through the world by themselves. In order to make money from a song, you have to repeatedly expose it to the public.
It's a bit like the grocery business, Dirksen says. There are more products than there is shelf space, and so food manufacturers pay supermarkets what are known as slotting fees to make sure their products are on shelves at eye level. Similarly, the music business has always paid to get its products at ear level, so to speak. Even before the advent of recorded music late in the 19th century, when sheet music was the way to distribute songs, Dirksen says music publishers paid people to expose tunes to the public.
A vaudeville headliner was making as much money or more from payments from publishing concerns as they were from their theatrical salaries. But even acts on the vaudeville circuits that weren't primarily musical, dancers and plate jugglers and whatnot, it's still worth the while of the publishers to sort of give them a little assistance in choosing what the song is that they want to sort of juggle the plates to.
Dirksen says payola was a staple of radio, too. It operated in the background throughout the business until the establishment part of the industry, which specialized in sweetly innocuous pop, found its market share challenged by independent labels that specialized in a new, wild, dirty form of music called rock and roll. Establishment executives started a whispering campaign on Capitol Hill.
If you want to know why there's all this terrible music on the radio, this self-evidently worthless music, it's because of payola. Payola has created rock and roll.
Even though everyone in the industry did it, Dirksen says. Amid parental hysteria surrounding rock and roll, Congress launched an investigation in 1960. Dirksen says the resulting anti-payola law actually made things worse. Instead of thousands of local DJs making their own decisions on which songs to play and which bribes to take, the music that's on most commercial radio ended up being drawn from what's known as a playlist.
That playlist is determined somewhere further up the corporate hierarchy, so it leads to a lot less diversity. But it hasn't canceled the function of payola, it's just moved it way further up the power structure and further out of sight and made it more deniable.
Artist manager Peter Jenner says today payola's going through yet another metamorphosis.
As opposed to just going along with a box of records which you could sell in the shops, or a large packet of cocaine, or a bundle of notes, I think what you now have to do is to do rather more subtle ways of influencing choice.
Last year, the nation's largest radio chain, Clear Channel, announced that it would no longer work with indies. The company declined an interview with NPR to explain what that announcement means in practice and how the change is working out. Jenner and others allege that Clear Channel asks artists to perform for free at big promotional shows at venues controlled by the firm's concert promotion subsidiary. The broadcaster gets to keep all of the box office income. Record companies play along, Jenner says, lest their artists find themselves blacklisted. FCC Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein says if that's what's going on, it's a violation of the anti-payola statute.
It's against the law for a radio broadcaster to get any benefit, direct or indirect, without disclosing what that benefit is to their listeners. And so I've been talking to my colleagues. I think there's a feeling on the commission that to the degree that we're hearing increased allegations of this kind of activity, I think it's incumbent upon us to look into it and to do so now.
Adelstein says he wants to find out whether the current law, with fines of only $4,000 per violation, is strict enough. He says his goal is to make sure that radio airplay is available to the best artists.
It should be based on merit and not how much somebody pays for it.
But paying for airplay doesn't necessarily make a song a hit. Music industry legend holds that Carly Simon's 1980 song, Jesse, was one of the most heavily promoted in pop history. It was also a flop. Rick Carr, NPR News.
Jesse, I won't cut fresh flowers for you, no, Jesse.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.